Welcome back to part two, motherfuckers. Man, that fucking human garbage fucking can. Fuck that guy. I gotta light my joint back up now. Because that guy got me mad. Man. When he tries to fucking say that she gave him oral sex, that shit really just. It's like, bro, we got the fucking autopsy piece of garbage. I know what you did to that girl. Fucking. She didn't offer shit to you, motherfucker. Damn, this joint is too fucking big, goddamn. So on April 16, 2008, Eric Boyd was found guilty in a federal court of being accessory to a federal carjacking and failing to report to locations or failing to report the location of a known fugitive, even though he did snitch on his boy. So Eric was the first to go to trial and the only suspect not charged with murder. Don't worry, like I said, they get him. It's okay, guys. They get his ass. So he was sentenced to a maximum of 18 years in federal prison. He was incarcerated at the Federal Correctional Institute of Yazoo City, which, get this, is a low security federal prison. Yeah, low security. This guy was a fucking accessory to a fatal carjacking, and they put him in a low security. And mind you, he has priors, prior violent crimes. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Give him the worst prison. Fuck this guy. If you can send him to Leavenworth, send him there. Fuck that guy. Ooh, we just fucking this shit. I might not be able to edit. Damn, I'm gonna be all the way gone. Shit, this might be a delayed episode. So on August 25th, 2009, Latavius Cobbins was found guilty of the murders of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. Cobbins faced the possibility of the death penalty because he was convicted of first degree felon murder, felony murder in the case of Shannon, which I don't know why they didn't get it for both, but whatever. He still faced it. So he was found guilty of facilitating the murder of Chris, but he was acquitted of Chris's rape. Which, even if you think he didn't do it, fuck him. Stack every charge you can on this motherfucker. Fuck, don't acquit him for shit. Jury, find him guilty. Like, what the fuck? Even if you don't think he's fucking guilty, fuck this guy. Kidding me? So on August 26th, Cobbins was sentenced to life without parole, which I'm okay with because of how shitty prison is. You won't see the light of day. I just wish that there was like some way to guarantee him getting really fucked up in there. Maybe his family is willing to pay somebody. I would. The jurors unanimously found Lamarius Davidson guilty, and they also unanimously found him guilty to receive the death penalty on four capital charges, two first degree felony murder charges, and two premeditated first degree murder charges on Shannon and Chris. They considered him to be the ringleader, and I consider him to be the ringleader too. That's why his fucking fingerprints are on goddamn everything. I don't think everyone else was just smart and wore gloves, and that's why. No, this dude was just doing most of the shit. He was the ringleader. He was calling the shots. He's the one that did most of the crimes. And yeah, he deserves four death. Like, if you can kill a motherfucker four times, like, they should like kill him, bring his ass back, kill him again, bring his ass back. Just do that in 4 days. Yeah, I know. It sounds cool and unusual, but fuck him. These are the type of people that deserve a cruel and unusual punishment. Please just punish them very unusually. Just fuck these guys. In June 2010, he was also sentenced to 80 years for other charges related to the murders. So they were like, yo, if you somehow live, you still going to do 80 years, nigga. So you dying in this prison. You ain't going nowhere, motherfucker. You are going to die right here. So this sentence is to be to be served consecutively to the death penalties, which is hilarious that they did that. While the death sentences were also consecutive, because he was, yeah, four death sentences. So it's like, whew, they really slayed this nigga. And I'm glad. And honestly, I think all of them should have got this punishment. If we're being honest, they all should have got the death penalty. They all should have been fucking death penalty plus 80 years. Nigga, your next life, they're gonna just arrest you as soon as you come out the womb. Oh, you got 80 years, nigga. Piece of shit. So, during sentencing, uh-oh, got me. That one got me. That's definitely the keef I put in there. Oh, I forgot I put keef in there. Ooh, shit. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. I'm gonna go ahead and set this fucking Louisville Slugger down before I can't fucking finish this goddamn podcast. All right. Whew. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that one just did me in. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hold on, guys. Fucking cherry won't go out. Gonna burn my fucking burn the studio down. Gotta be careful, kids. Gotta learn your fire safety. Oh, Jesus. Oh man, that last hit got me. I'm seeing doubles. During the sentencing, Judge Dick said the crime was, quote, one of the worst, incredibly outrageous, cruel, and inhumane cases this court has ever seen. And I agree. I agree 100%. I haven't even been in that court. He also said, quote, how people can engage in this type of conduct is just unexplainable, end quote. Yeah, I agree. That is unexplainable. Only way I can explain it is that they're just pure evil. That's the only way to pretty much describe these guys. He also said, quote, there is really no sentence great enough to punish you for the conduct you have been convicted of, end quote. And I gotta say, this is the only time I fucking agreed with old Judge Rich. Old Judge Dick. He got it right there. There is no sentence great enough to really punish these guys. Unless you can somehow track the person's next life, that's the only way you could, I think, the punishment fits is, yeah, they have to serve two lives in that motherfucker. Like, it's like your next life, sorry, you gotta fucking suffer because of the crimes you committed, you piece of shit. So the Tennessee Supreme Court, affirmed, old faggot boy fucking Davidson conviction and his death sentence in 2016. Some of this stuff happened recently, yes, guys. On December 8th, 2009, George Thomas was then found guilty on multiple counts as well. The jury returned a sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole on each of the four capital convictions. I wish he would have gone to death too. The convictions of Eric Cobbins and Davidson and what's his name, Thomas, left Vanessa Coleman as the last defendant to face trial. She, fucking bitch, was granted immunity by federal authorities for testimony in the federal case of the carjacking, but the state courts ruled that the federal grant of immunity could not extend to the state charges of the murder of rape and rape. Thank God. I don't know why the fucking feds would even think about giving this bitch any kind of fucking immunity. Fuck this bitch. We got her journal. We got all these other motherfuckers saying she did it. Let's just go ahead and just, yeah, we got enough evidence. Fuck these guys. feds, I don't even understand why you did that. So on May 13th, 2010, Vanessa was then acquitted on first degree murder, but found guilty on lesser charges. On July 30th, 2010, she was sentenced to 53 years. During sentencing, which is bullshit, 53 fucking years, fuck this bitch. She got less than my man did after he died. Like, damn, how the fuck this bitch get less? During sentencing, Shannon's father stated, "For me personally, you took my baby. You took my opportunity to say yes to a young man one day. You took my wedding dance away. You took my opportunity to hold her child, my grandbaby." End quote. Man. And I watched some of the videos of the family's testimony. And I gotta say, that may have been the hardest thing to watch about this case. Because you can just feel their pain just from watching the video. You don't feel the actual what they're feeling. I'm just saying you feel like, damn, man. These people had to sit through and hear descriptions and see pictures of things that probably haunt them till now. And man, to see these motherfuckers, to not see these motherfuckers just all get death, I would have been pissed, but guess 53 years is okay. Yeah, maybe. Like I said, I don't think everyone got their just time. Vanessa didn't get her just time. Bullshit. And yeah, I mean, it's just, man, I hate what they had to go through, and I hate what they're gonna have to go through, because unfortunately, the family would have to relive this horror all over again. Damn you, fucking Judge Dick. Now we got to talk about this fucking piece of shit judge. We got to talk about this motherfucker because he fucked everything up and put these victims' families through fucking hell. And it's just, you fucking, you are Judge Dick in the offensive way. I'm not calling you Dick because it's a nickname, Richard. No, you're just a dick. So, the defendants in all four state cases from the 2000s all appealed their convictions. The sentencing judge, fuckboy Judge Dick, one of Knox County's three criminal court judges, was unfortunately forced to resign from the bench in March of 2011. Why, you say? Well, this is what ultimately fucked the whole case up. He admitted to being addicted to drugs and to purchasing prescription pain medication from convicts, and was accused by a woman of trading legal favors for sex during breaks in court sessions. Motherfucker. Yeah, like I said, I don't just hate Judge Dick because he fucked the case up. I hate him because he's just a piece of shit. Plain and simple. After resigning, Judge Dick pleaded guilty to one count of official misconduct. I wish he was thrown in prison. These actions were held to have impaired his ability to conduct trials during the final 2 years of his bench and compromised all trials he held during this time, including, guess what? Yeah, the initial trials of the pieces of shit. Fucking asshole. So he was then later disbarred, and thank God he used to be disbarred and thrown in prison as a direct result of his actions. On December 1st, 2011, Judge John Kerry Blackwood granted new trials to all four state defendants after the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation outlined evidence that fucking Judge Dick was likely impaired while presiding over those trials. It was high in those cases. That's why he's threatening to fucking kick out families and shit because he's fucking snapping because he needs another fix. Fucking dopehead. So, Blackwood, old Judge Blackwood, tentatively set retrials for between June and November 2012. And look, I don't. I'm not mad at Judge John Kerry Blackwood. Not mad. Doing his job. He's upholding the law. He saw a problem. I get it. I'm not mad at him. He's just trying to uphold what he believes is the true interpretation of the law. And while I don't agree with what he did, I know why he did it. Like I said, those new cases were going to be in 2012, pending state appeals of decision, and set bail at $1 million for Coleman, the only defendants whose sentence had a possibility of parole, which she would never make $1 million, so it was fine. She was a broke little country bumpkin bitch. She's not making that shit. Separately, ooh. Judge Blackwood denied a change of venue but allowed for potential jurors to be brought in from outside Knox County due to, double jeopardy, and the defendants faced the maximum sentences they had already received. And thus, only Davidson was eligible for capital punishment, which sucks. But he was the only one that got it anyway, so wasn't going to change anything. Prosecutors conceded there was proof that, Judge Dick was impaired during Coleman's trial, but appealed the decision to retry Fuckboy Main Boy Davidson and Cobbins and Thomas. The decision to hold retrials for Cobbins and Davis and Thomas was affirmed in a 2-3 in a 2-1 decision by Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals on April 13th. On May 12th. Excuse me, in May of 2012, however, the Tennessee Supreme Court overturned Blackwood's ruling ordering new trials for Cobbins, Davidson, and Thomas. Good job. Commenting that its, quote, order should not be construed as condoning or excusing Judge Dick's misconduct. The Tennessee Supreme Court said that the trial judge's misconduct outside the courtroom does not necessarily require a new trial unless the misconduct is shown to have affected the trial proceedings. After the decision, the cases were sent back to Judge Blackwood to reconsider the motions for new trials. In 2012, or in June 2012, after the Tennessee Supreme Court ruling, Judge Blackwood again granted new trials for Davidson, Cobbins, and Thomas. Fucking Blackwood, now I'm mad at you. You piece of shit. He based his new decision on the 13th juror rule. Prosecutors filed ha to have Judge Blackwood recused from the case after he invoked the 13th juror rule and granted new trials to the defendants. The motion cited Blackwood's emotional involvement in the case as potentially interfering with the fair trial. Following Blackwood's recusal, thank God he was fucking kicked off of there, you dumb piece of shit. Senior Judge Walter Kurtz was named to oversee the retrials and decision to grant them. Retrials were denied for Cobbins and Davidson, but were granted for Thomas and Coleman, unfortunately, because now the family has to hear shit again. I really don't get why the system does this, when they know these pieces of shit are guilty. But I guess everyone deserves due process, right, guys? Nah, Except these fuckers. They don't deserve due process. Fuck them. They did not get a fair trial. I don't believe anything of any kind of decency should be afforded to any of these fucking human pieces of shit stains. So, facing the same charges in her first trial on November 20th, 2012, Vanessa Coleman was convicted by a jury of facilitation of aggravated kidnapping, facilitation of rape, and facilitation of murder of Shannon Christian, but not Christopher Newsom. These convictions were on lesser charges than her initial convictions. So while the retrial was conducted in Knoxville, the jury for the retrial was selected from Jackson, Tennessee, more than 3,000 or more than 300 miles west of Knoxville. She caught a break. Coleman's lawyers argued that she should receive a 20-year max sentence, while prosecutors asked for the maximum asked for the maximum sentence of nearly 50 years, which, yeah, fuck this bitch, she should get the max, because she had 53 years. Fuck it, give her 53 less years. That's fair. But fucking motherfuckers. They sentenced Vanessa to 35 fucking years in prison. Fucking on February 1st, 2013, minus credit for time served. Specifically, he sentenced her to 25 years for the facilitation of Shannon's murder, 6 years for the facilitation of kidnapping, and 4 years for the 4 years for the facilitation of rape. Which, I gotta say, 6 years, 4 years for those two charges? That's it. That's it? Really? Really? So if I facilitated a kidnapping or a rape, I would get 6 or 4 years? Really? I got homeboys that did 8 years for fucking weed. I got a homeboy that did 13 years for some fucking coke. And yeah, coke's bad, but Jesus Christ. She got 10 years total for the facilitation of a kidnapping and rape. Like, I don't get that. Were those the max? Because if that wasn't the max, I don't know what the fuck this judge was doing, but whatever. Whatever. During sentencing, Judge Bitchwood Blackwood commented that the psychological torture of this unfortunate victim was immense. He also called the crime the most horrible murder case he had ever seen. Then why didn't you fucking max this bitch out, nigga? What the fuck? How you gonna say some shit like that and not max a motherfucker out, man? Yo, this judge, man, I hope this motherfucker don't work no more. So in 2014, the Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals denied Coleman's request for a new trial and her sentence, and upheld her sentence. Judge Thomas T. Woodell wrote in his opinion, quote, "The facts of the trial showed that Vanessa was in the Chipman Street house for nearly 2 days, where Shannon was confined and brutally raped before she was tied up, wrapped in five plastic trash bags." I'm getting fucking tongue tied. Just this weed is just fucking fuck my brain up. Wrapped in five plastic trash bags and stuffed into a garbage can, where she died from asphyxiation. And in journal entries written after the slayings, Vanessa described one hell of an adventure in Big Tennessee and wrote that she, quote, loved her life. This evidence supports the trial court's findings that Vanessa is a dangerous offender. Then why the fuck didn't this bitch get maxed out? God damn it, man. This is bullshit. Bull fucking shit. Fucking bullshit. I would have been maxed out. She should be maxed Bullshit. So, on May 17th, 2013, the retrial of George Bitch Boy Thomas, which, the jury impaneled in Nashville, ended in a verdict of guilty on all 38 counts. He didn't get the 46 counts like last time, and he was resentenced. He was resentenced to life in prison again. But these motherfuckers gave him the possibility of parole. Like, they actually said, hey, you know what? We'll give you a chance to get out. Granted, the chance is in 51 years. So, the possibilities of him making it to parole, slim. Possibilities of him getting parole, slimmer. This shit's forever gonna be in Tennessee, bro. You ain't getting out. On June 4th, 2013, Judge Kurtz sentenced Thomas to two life sentences consecutive for the murders of for the murders and 25 years multiple concurrent for the rapes. On 20 in 2015, the Tennessee Court of Criminal Appeals upheld Thomas's conviction. In January 2016, Thomas then appealed to have the United States Supreme Court, but the court did not agree to hear his case. They were like, no, are you kidding me, bro? Why the fuck would we hear your case? First of all, we haven't heard a murder case in like, it's like 60 years. Like, they don't even entertain that shit. They don't care. They're just like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, we ain't got time for this shit. We definitely ain't gonna respond to a motherfucker with all this evidence. Nah, bruh. You can just sit your ass in prison and enjoy them 51 years, you bitch ass nigga. And honestly, they shouldn't have even responded. They should have just left his ass hanging there, just wondering, like, are these motherfuckers gonna give me a response? Nope. Fuck you. Now remember how I said Eric Boyd was just convicted 2 years ago? Let's get into his trial. So on March 20th, 2018, 11 years after the murders, a Knox County grand jury returned a 36-count indictment, including Eric Dwayne Boyd with charging Eric Dwayne Boyd with first-degree felony murder, first-degree premeditated murder, especially aggravated robbery, especially aggravated kidnapping, and aggravated rape in the murders. Boyd was transported from the Federal Correctional Institution in Yazoo, Mississippi, and booked into the Knox County jail, where he was held on, I don't know why they gave him a bond, a $1 million bond. He couldn't make it, of course, but still, why even give him the opportunity to make it? Like, fuck this dude. No bond. It's not hard, judges. How hard is this nigga had priors too, and he's coming from a fucking prison. What the fuck? Why the fuck would you even? I don't get that shit. All right, whatever. It's fucking ridiculous. So Eric Boyd was finally brought to trial on those state charges in August 2019. Unlike the other trials, owing to a long passage of time between the murders and this trial, the jury was impaneled in Knoxville and not sequestered. Because, plenty of time had passed by to where it's like, don't worry, this jury is not going to be, that tainted, even though everyone knows about this case. Everyone knew about it in the state, so no matter what, people would have known. So, co-defendant George Thomas testified as a witness in Boyd's trial. Yeah, these motherfuckers, like I said, they just are all pieces of shit, throwing everyone or throwing each other under the bus, like, fuck it. Nah. Holla. I love it. So, unfortunately, this was a deal Thomas had made. Because of it allowed his first degree conviction to be reduced to second degree and his aggravated rape to be reduced to aggravated assault. So his sentence was reduced to life without the possibility of parole to 50 years to 2 25-year terms and the opportunity to reduce his sentence to by up to 15% based on good behavior during his incarceration. Now, granted, doubtful he will ever get any kind of parole, so he's gonna probably have to do 50 years or somewhere around there. He could do maybe 40, 30, 30 to 40 years if he does, the whole good behavior thing. But All you got to do is just make sure that his behavior isn't that good. Come on, people. We'll start a GoFundMe to pay a prisoner to just start fights with him every day and just get his fucking more charges on his ass. On August 13th, 2019, a jury found Eric Boyd guilty on nearly all the charges. I don't know how it was nearly. All the charges guilty. Easy. There you go. We out. Including premeditated first degree murder and the rape against both victims. Yeah, like I said, they found sperm on, both victims, and they said that he was probably the guy that raped Christian, or not Christian, excuse me, Chris, because he was alone with him for a while, and now they're like, did you rape this dude? I bet you they're wondering, like, yeah, this dude raped the dude. This motherfucker weird. He was also convicted on charges of carjacking, robbery, and kidnapping. He was found guilty on lesser charges on two counts. Instead of finding him guilty on especially aggravated armed robbery, the jury found him guilty of aggravated armed robbery, which is still very extreme. The judge immediately sentenced Boyd to life in prison, as this is automatic for the murder convictions. Eric Boyd requested a new trial and was immediately denied by the Knox County Criminal Court. Judge Bob McGee, good job, Bob. You're not like fucking Bitchwood, in 2019. I don't know why sick fucks think the court will side with them unless there's like some major change. Like that dirty ass fucking judge or something. Just dick. Unless something like that happens. I don't know why these motherfuckers are like, I would like to request a new trial, judge. No, nigga. Like, you're a piece of shit. Why the fuck? No. There's nothing in your trial that would make me do that. Fuck you. So, Vanessa Coleman, the only female convicted in the crimes, is currently, she's being held at the Tennessee Women's Prison, now known as the Deborah K. Johnson Rehabilitation Center. That doesn't rehabilitate. In Nashville. She is serving 35-year sentence. And she was eligible for parole in 2017. And her sentence expires on April 18th, 2016. So in just 15 years, this fucking bitch can come out, which the day she comes out, any family member that's still alive from either one of them, you better go put hands on this bitch immediately, expeditiously, because this bitch deserves the ultimate beat down from this family. I hope all of y'all are there. I hope it's a collective ass whooping on this bitch. Soon as she steps out of prison, just grab that bitch up and bloop, just fuck her all up. Whole face up, everything, just body, face. Kick her in the fucking vagina a fucking few times. Fucking piece of shit. So in August 2014, the families of the victims were notified that with good behavior, Coleman's sentence could be reduced by 16 days per month of incarceration, making her eligible for parole consideration in August or in October 2014. The parole hearing was rescheduled from October to December. At the December 2014 hearing, Coleman was denied parole, of course, and her next parole consideration date was set for December 20th, or for December 2020. Yeah, like 4 months ago. Yeah, December. Coleman again went before the board on December 8th, 2020. Like I said, just a mere, not even 4 months ago, like 3.5 months ago, this bitch went up for parole. Don't worry, guys. She didn't get it. Both the victims, Shannon and Christopher's mothers, and Shannon's father gave statement to the board opposing parole, of course. The seven members of the board voted unanimously to deny parole to Vanessa and to ensure that she would not be eligible to go before the parole board again for 10 years, which, you should just say, look, just stay, sit down. You're not getting out. Just don't waste your time. That's what they should tell him. Like, just 2036. Look forward to that. You're not coming out. Honestly, I think the parents could have sat it out and she still would have been denied because this case sticks in the minds of everyone in Tennessee. So she better just get ready to max that sentence out, like I said, as she should have too, because, fuck her. I don't, I hope she rots. I hope she gets, man, I wish she got COVID. Damn, I wish she was one of the ones that got COVID and just wore her ass out. Man, COVID, you don't get the good ones. Damn it. Bitch boy, Latavius and or George Thomas were originally incarcerated at River Bend Maximum Security Institution in Nashville after the Bledsoe County Correctional Complex in Pikeville opened in 2012. They were transferred to that facility immediately. O'Cobbins is currently serving his life sentence without parole at the Northwest Correctional Complex. Thomas is serving a 50-year sentence at the Northeast Correctional Complex. His sentence ends, according to release dates, in May 2053. So, yeah, he's still got 32 years, to stick it out. Hopefully, he does not fucking make it. Fingers crossed over here. Fingers crossed. Come on, prisoners, or virus, or disease, or something. COs, beat him to death. I don't know. Something happened to this fucking guy. Fuck him. Mr. Ringleader, yeah, old Davidson was sentenced to death, like I said, on October 30th, 2009, and is currently incarcerated at the River Bend Maximum Security Institution, awaiting getting fucking murdered. And I'm so glad. It'll be a good day. Eric Boyd, who had been serving his sentence of 18 years at the Federal Correctional Institution, Beckley, a medium security prison near Beaver, West Virginia. I don't know why this guy keeps on getting low and medium fucking classifications. Like his crimes were like, they weren't that bad. He was held at that one, and he was eligible for release just next year, but he was found guilty on those state charges in August 2019. So we good. He was immediately sentenced to life in prison by the judge. Like I said, he was stated that the life sentence was automatic. So yeah, almost all of them will never see freedom again. I doubt Georgie boy, old Coleman. I doubt he'll make it 30 some years. I mean, he's already done like 15 years or something. Like, I doubt it. I hope not, at least. Fingers crossed like a motherfucker. Please don't make it. Because if he, I mean, if, even if he comes out, he'll be an old piece of shit. But still, fuck. But it sucks that Vanessa's probably going to get out because COVID didn't take her. Prisoners probably ain't gonna take her. Family, you gotta step up on this one. You gotta step up on this one, man. I'm telling you, you gotta step up on this one. So yeah, almost, yeah, like I said, they're all stuck in there, and that's how it should go, because they really don't deserve any kind of sympathy, empathy, or any feelings besides, hate, anger, and the wish of death upon them all. Just a fiery, painful death for all of them. Fuck them. That's all I want. So this is the part where I'm gonna kind of rant a little bit. Like I said, I just kind of quickly go over it, and I want to go over something in this case that was, somewhat controversial, but I just call it selective outrage. Many media people and the public believe that because the victims were white and the perpetrators were black, that this was ignored by the media. Because as one media member stated, it was, quote, it wasn't sexy, end quote. Let me start by saying there's nothing fucking sexy about the murder that we just fucking talked about. So fuck that guy. Especially, this type. It's just, how a media member can say some shit like that. Fuck that guy. He should get uppercutted. Second, those same people pointing that out were called out for never pointing out the fact that, when a black child gets kidnapped, they get the least airtime on media outlets. Even when they're killed, they don't get airtime. They don't point out how disgusting and discriminatory our country is. They are pretty silent on everything involving minorities, pretty much. But then they get up in arms over this. Now, I'm not saying don't be mad. This case should make everyone mad. You should be all outraged by what you just fucking heard. It's one of the worst things I've ever fucking witnessed or read about. But to point out, to point that out is basically like saying we only care about stuff if white people are involved in. Damn, did that just make me super fucking pissed that they wanted to emphasize that. Not let's get justice for these people. They just, this should get more media attention. And I could go on with example after example of media bias towards blacks and other minorities, but I'm sure most of you know about it. So no need to touch on it. But to see almost as much attention to the fact that the victims were white and the perps were black as the actual torture, rapes, and murder is simply sick. And shows, it shows just how racially focused so many are in this country, especially if it can disparage or look down upon a certain race or demographic. It's just fucking sickening to read those fucking media stories that they printed about this. It was just like, are you fucking kidding me? I hope and pray you motherfuckers don't have jobs still, 'cause you don't deserve to be writing shit up. You're human garbage, and you deserve to be treated as such. Hate fucking people like that, man. But I digress. Sorry to rant so much, guys. I apologize. But that shit pissed me off. well, gang gang, that's the twisted story of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. I hope I didn't lose too many listeners because of this one. I know it was really disturbing, and I'm sorry that I disturbed you. But you knew what you were getting into. I warned you at the beginning. Like, man, come on, don't hate me. Next week, unfortunately, I'm bringing y'all another fucked up case. So it's not as fucked up as this one, but it's still fucked up. We will dive into the sick case of Ronald Gene Simmons. Old Ron, he decided to kill his entire family, all 14 of them, but he didn't stop there, and he killed a coworker, and he killed a sheer stranger, and then he wounded four other people. But it's the sheer span of his crime spree that really shocked the country and the state of Arkansas. Ron did all of this in just a week's time. Just 1 week, he did all these crimes. 16 people dead, four people wounded. And yeah, you hear like, oh man, mass shootings have that all the time. It's like, yeah, but still. This is fucking crazy, man. Systematic. And, he killed one of his daughters, they think, because he was kind of exposed for raping her and birthing a child with her. So yeah, he's a pretty piece of shit. And yeah, his crime spree, because of what he did, made him one of the world's worst spree killers. And that's not to be confused with serial killers. There is a difference, folks. And don't worry, I'll go over it in the session. I'll talk about the different breakdown of it. Yeah, it's gonna be one hell of a wrap up to March Madness. It will be some fucking madness for you. So make sure you don't miss it. Once again, guys, I got to thank you all for the continued support. And if you want to support further, don't forget to check out buymeacoffee.com/token talk. And you can just click the link in the episode's description. And yeah, just keep on listening, keep on sharing, keep on supporting. Share your input, your criticisms, your comments, your compliments. Do it all, man. I'm here for it all. I soak it all in. If the criticism and the comments really help a lot. They help me improve. They help me give you guys more content, better content, and things of that nature. So please keep sending it my way, guys. I appreciate it all. Until next week. Well, actually. We still got True Crime and a Dime, so you'd be getting that tomorrow. And it's actually going to be a two True Crimes and a Dime tomorrow because I'm going to do a specific one because I'm sure most of you heard about the mass shooting here in Colorado. And I'm just going to touch on that one for a whole session of True Crime and a Dime. And then I'm gonna do the regular True Crime and a Dime. And I really want to go over that Boulder case just because I got some input that I just want to just throw out there and voice my opinion and thoughts on the whole thing. And I think that yeah, I think you guys would or should tune in to that one because it's gonna be. It's gonna be some real shit. Real shit. So yeah, till next or till tomorrow. And till the end of or the wrap up of March Madness on Monday, tokers. Keep toking. Stay happy. Spread love. Peace. I'm out.
Hey guys, I'd like to also give a nice little shout out. Make sure you guys go check out my good friends at Last Call Nation. Last Call Nation's a great merchandise brand and lifestyle brand that just promotes living the good life and also just living life to the fullest. Make sure you go visit them at lastcallnation.com. Also follow them on Instagram at Last Call Nation and check them out on Facebook as well. Make sure you like their page and make sure you purchase some of that merch. Some pretty cool stuff on there too. I just ordered one of my shirts, so I should be getting that soon. And yeah, I'll definitely be plugging them every single time, guys, because like I said, amazing merch. Also remember to make sure you share their page with your friends so that they can also live life to the fullest. And just remember, life is too short. So grab every good time you can because you never know when it's gonna be your last call.